You know, you started off this morning saying, my heart was Friday night, is that we have to understand this beyond anything, is that God is a God of love. Understand that. Once we get our mind wrapped around that, we can receive things from Him a lot easier, you know. If your children know you love them and you have to correct them, well, they still don't like it too well, but they know you're doing it for the right thing. Amen? And same with God. God the same way. He does have to correct us from time to time. But we look back through those correction times and we realize it was the best thing that ever happened to us. That we were maybe getting too big for our britches or whatever it might have been. But He loved us enough to correct us. Because it's not really love if you have a child that's being disobedient and you're trying to raise that child. I get an amen already up here. Yeah. We've all been there, honey. We've all been there, okay? But, mom will say the same thing, and her grandmother will say the same thing. So love is when you have a child being disobedient, and you know what they're doing is going to be very harmful to them, is to intercede and say, no, you can't do this. Hey, everybody else is doing it. Well, I'm not their mother, I'm not their father. And their argument goes on, but I'm telling you, 10 years later, they look back and they realize how much you loved them and cared for them. They understand it because a lot of times by then, they're in the same situation. They have children they're trying to raise. Now they realize what mom or dad was trying to say to us. You know, I've said before, I look back at my days in school and it wasn't the teacher who allowed me to smoke back in the classroom that I look at now appreciating. It's the one who's paddled my hind end when they caught me doing that. Yeah, you know, I understand that now because they realize that someday my generation will be in charge watching over them when they're elder. They want to make sure they got somebody there. Get some type of discipline going on there, you know. So they did that out of love. And God the same way with us. He loves. Maggie, I get a kick out of you every Sunday I go back. You're like me. I keep watching somebody in the eyes when you're talking to him. But he is a God of love. And His words are so powerful for us.
Actually, I was thinking about them high school days and some of the crazy things that the teachers did allow us to do back in the 70s. It was pretty bizarre if you think about it now.
Oh, it was, you know.
It was.
And, you know, I'm very thankful for the ones that did not allow me to get away with all that stuff that I was trying to do because I'm still here with us today. You know, my eyes are set upon the Lord. And, you know, look, even toward my mother and my father, you know, we said this before. John Hagee said it the greatest. He said that he had a drug problem when he was younger. That his mother drug him to church, drug him to Bible study, you know. But because of that, he had a greater life. And I say with my father, I can remember him on Sundays in church and him singing. I mean, of all the things, I can't tell you what the priest was talking about. I mean, I don't remember the sermons, but I remember my dad just standing there praising the Lord and singing. And I don't know, it motivated me. You know, he could have went and dropped me off and come back later on and picked me up, but he stayed. I mean, he was there. So the things that we do, our children see it. The things that we do, our God sees it. Some things He's approved of, some things He doesn't approve of. And how do we know how to find the things that He approves? By His Word. Amen? And did anybody talk this last week? Anybody talk at all? Come on, women! I know, come on! Okay.
I got my feet up, my hands up.
Yeah, yeah. I should say, anybody going to be... No, I won't say a thing, I won't say. So when you spoke this week, something took place. Something fantastic took place, or something bad took place. Has anyone spoke nice to people this week? Has anyone spoke, you wish you hadn't spoke it? Spoken? Is that the right word? I know. Have you said things this week that you wish you never said? Probably. Yeah. 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 Well, we can't take back the words that we spoke, but we always seek forgiveness and then learn from them and go forward on that. You know, we shared last week, if you have your Bibles, you'll walk and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. But this is what God is showing us through His love, how powerful our tongues are, but also how powerful His words are. In Hebrews, I put the S on it, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." Again, I'm going to about that one in the next verse in Ephesians 6:17. He tells us, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, Aaron, back here on the table, you want to bring that sword up for me? So what he's saying, that his Word is sharper than any two-edged sword. And when we're in a battle, now, if we're in a battle right now, if he's going to fight me in the cardinal, look what he has. He's got a sword. Now, this is a two-edged sword. So when he hits me on this side, it cuts me. When I turn like this, he comes back around, it cuts me. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates me, okay? Well, this one here won't be. Yeah.
All right.
So when we fight, the Bible tells us, where God said, we don't fight flesh and blood. You know, Aaron can take this all day long and thump me with it. He's not going to change me a bit. Because how I'm acting now in the flesh is started in the heavenlies. Okay? The Spirit that controls me, it causes me to act the way that I do. So he can thump me, yell at me, whatever he wants to do. He's not going to change me. He can take my arms and my legs off. I'm running around. And he's going to change his thing. But when he realizes it's not Starkey that he's upset with, per se, it's the battle that's going on in the heavenlies. The powers and principalities, which is attacking us today. And in order to fight it, we have to fight it with the Word of God. Amen? It's the Word of God. So he said the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting. Whoop. Okay, you understand that? Both ways. When I swing, it's boom. And if I want to take your head off, that's halfway. I'm sorry. Kids up front. That's the second one. Both ways. Almost got you too, Daryl, huh? Thank you, Aaron. I appreciate that.
I know.
You gotta watch. That's why nobody sits on the front row here. Either you get hit or I spit on you. So. But so the two-edged sword cuts both ways, so you need to make sure when you swing it that you are have the intentions to use it. Just as it will cut both ways, so will the Word of God when it returns to Him. Now, in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we talk about the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, Jesus Christ is a living Word of God. So God spoke it in the Old Testament. Jesus lived it in the New Testament. So you can put the two together. It's kind of like I do on Sundays up here a lot of times. I'll tell you what the Word of God says, then I'll act it out. It will come alive, per se. I'll read the verse to you, and then next thing you know, I'm swinging a sword around. Okay? That's what the Master did. He came upon the earth. He lived what God had spoken. Plus, also, He came to take our sins away from us. So you wonder what God is like? Look at Jesus. Jesus is a living example of our Father in heaven. In Isaiah 55:10, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Again, that's Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11. But God says, my word will not go forth from my mouth and return to Him empty without accomplishing what it desire. So let's go back this past week, what you spoke, okay? Was you speaking the Word of God? Did you stand on the Word of God? When you said that, you spoke some stuff that was good, some stuff that was bad. Just think about the bad things that you said this week. If you would have spoke the Word of God, that Word of God would have returned to Him. What do you mean, preacher? Well, God spoke. Right here. This is Him speaking to us. This is His Word. He said, when my Word to return to me, it'll do exactly what I caused it to do. So in order for the Word to return to Him, we must speak it back to Him. Just think of that. How's your life going? Is it going pretty well, or is it going down the tubes? Our life, to a great degree, is governed by what we speak. What we speak. Oh, husbands, have you ever said something that the wife misunderstood? Amen. Oh, if I have that back. How many times has that happened, guys? Till before we walk in the door, we think, okay, ooh, how's she going to take this? How should I say this? How do I present this? After a while, we should learn, okay, I'm going to make sure I speak this correctly, because it might come out the wrong way, then I'll have no supper tonight. Okay, so we think about what we say. Same way with any conversation. What are we speaking? What are we saying? The minute we open our mouth up, something's going to take place. It's either going to be for the good or for the bad. The minute every word that you say, it has a purpose. Now, whether you intend it for that purpose or not makes any difference. It still has a purpose. So we need to choose our words wisely. But your life today could be in shambles today because we're still speaking in the carnal. We're still speaking in the flesh. We're speaking things that we hear maybe from our neighbors. Maybe we're talking to other people who has a similar problems, and we're speaking the same thing they say. And maybe ladies around a lady group, they're talking about men. All the men are worthless. They're no good. They amount to nothing. Because maybe that's the experiences some of the ladies has. Marriage is no good. Because that's some of the experiences that they have. So as you leave, or men the same way. And I'm not picking on ladies. I'm going to say men, we get around there and we talk too. Okay, we say things. And if you're looking for answers and you walk out, wow, I'm never going to get married. I don't want to get, Because we leave that thinking marriage is terrible. That men's no good. Women's no good. Men are lazy. Women talk all the time. That's some of the concepts we get. So we walk around with a demented concept of what life is and what marriage is. But if you want to know what marriage should be like, go to the one who created marriage. Amen? And that is the Word of God. And folks, I don't care if you're here today, you're not married, or you think about getting married, you've been married 50 years. You can still go to the Word of God and say, God, I want my marriage better. Every marriage can be better, like every relationship with God can be better, right? Like, yes. So God, show me what really. And sometimes, men, we get this concept, and ladies, it's not a bad, we don't mean our badness or whatever. We think we show our ladies love by working our hind ends off. We think we're showing them, that's not what we think of. And we'll work three jobs, that way they get the newest dishwasher, they have the newest car. Or whatever. Ladies, you might do the same thing. You might be out there working, I'm going to work a job, I'm going to get my husband new golf clubs or a new... thinking that's how we show love. But it's so simple. If you go back to the Word of God, and He said that a man shall leave his mother and father and be cling to his wife, and the two shall become one. Why? What started all that? Because God said it was not good for a man to be alone. He didn't say, I'll create woman to do his dishes. I'll create man to cut the grass. Take your marriage, you relate right down to that one word. It's not good for a man to be alone, and build your relationship on that. Whether you're driving a used car or you're driving a new car, it makes no difference. Build your relationship on that. It's not good for a man to be alone. That's why you come together and build it on that. Don't leave your wife 20 hours a day to go out and make a living. Cut back on whatever you're trying to live on. And ladies, don't do the same with your husband. Say, listen, number one is our relationship. Let's go from there. Whether I'm eating turkey hot dogs or beef hot dogs, the number one thing is a relationship with my wife. And it goes back to the same thing with our relationship with our God. The number one thing is He made us to be in fellowship with Him, to hang out with Him. That's what He wants. Too many times we think we got to do this and this and this and this to please God and do this and sacrifice this. No. It starts off a relationship with them. That's the number one thing. Then he takes it from there. He takes it from there. But it's fellowship. And I tell you, if we can spend more time in fellowship with God, our lives we have more joy, be more peace. Will you go through heartache? Yes, you will. I mean, this world isn't perfect. It won't be. But we can survive as we allow Him. Now, as we allow Him to love us, if we allow Him to love others through us. Again, go back to when we open our mouths up and we think for a moment. As I look at my wife, and I'll share a scripture in a minute. She was made in the image of God. God made her. Well, He had her to come into life. Her mom and dad made her. I understand that. He has a plan and purpose for her. She's His little girl. Who am I to speak against this little girl of God? Who am I to chastise her? Who am I to make fun of her? Who am I to tear her down? I'm messing with God's girl. Does anybody want to mess with God's girl? No. And you're God's girl. You're God's boy. Think of that. If we can just get a grasp of that, God loves us. But man, when we open our mouths up against one another, we're speaking against something that God created. Woo! I don't know. I mean, I don't know what your family relationship is, but no one's going to mess with my wife. How much more would God say that? I'm not perfect. God's perfect. And we might say, well, you can't mess with my wife. But I can. She's my wife. Well, I'm going to get over here. Take my shoes off. You know what I'm saying? The words that we speak are so powerful that we have to make sure we're speaking the words of God to change situations, to change lives. You might be aggravated with me today. Oh, I can't stand Starkey. Well, find a word of God and speak it out against me or for me. You know what I'm saying? Speak it out that it will change me. Maybe I'm blind to something. Maybe I can't see something. Maybe I act a certain way instead of already speaking out what I'm doing. Find that word of God and speak it out. And allow God to be involved in that part of my life. Amen. Now, I try to encourage people that if you can get together and start talking about someone, you're close to doing what God wants you to do. Somehow God has laid them on your heart, but don't talk about them. Let's pray for them. Amen. And sometimes it takes a while to change that, you know, because we have a habit of trying to. People talk. I mean, the tongue is terrible. You know what I'm saying? And I'll share a scripture on that here in a minute, too. But if we just learn that when someone comes across your heart, wow. And said, wait, I ain't going to talk about Kathy. Let's pray for Kathy today. Let's just pray for Kathy Snyder today. Let's just pray, God, that You just lift her up today and just strengthen her body today, Father God. And I know she's tired. I know she wore out. But God, I don't need to say that because You already know that. I'm going to pray today that she be strengthened and raised up in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You know what I'm saying? And again, Kathy, if I say, boy, you're tired and you're wore out, I'm speaking the truth. But I don't need to do that because we already know that. So if I'm going to put air across my vocal cords, let it be something that can change your life. Right. Amen? Right. Wow, we've all got limited number of breaths on this earth, okay? So let's make sure when it crosses our vocal cords, it's something that God can work with. Amen? Amen. Again, understand me, church. I'm not saying if you come into March, oh man, I mean, Daryl's really tired today. He worked so hard last time. I'm scared of him driving today. That's not a sin saying that, okay? But if that's on your heart, okay, well, let's pray. Oh Lord, just raise up Daryl today. See what I'm saying? Take that motivation. We realize there's a situation here. Let's pray for him. And but it'll make a difference in our lives. You know, there's not one of us in here perfect. We want to be like Jesus. But we're not quite there yet. So when we see the deficiencies in one another, as the Lord brings it to us, He does that not to make fun of anyone. He does that for the saints can pray. That we can intercede, that we can say, "Hey, Lord, I need you involved over here." Remember, the Master can't do anything unless we allow Him. We invite Him to the situation. You think, "Well, I think God can do all things." God can do all things, but He won't lie. And when He gave us dominion, and we gave it to Satan, we lost it, but He gave it back to us through Jesus Christ. So we can say, "Lord, today, I just actually get involved in my children's life today. Father, take out those stumbling blocks. Send someone in their life today to witness to them." See, that's how. Or we all can have a list of friends and relatives that's not doing anything right. But they already know that. Most people, I believe 99.9% of the people who's headed to hell, they know they're headed to hell. We don't have to tell them that. We just got to show them that God loves them. And He doesn't want them to go there. And share that scripture. Pray for them. And when we start praying for them, a lot of times things get worse, do they not? Well, that means you're doing the right thing. You know that you're stepping on the right toes. And you just draw closer to God. Keep speaking that word. Keep interceding for them. And allow them to be released from that. You know, too many times we can get wore out ourselves. As we intercede and pray for other people. And Satan just starts roaring like a lion. And coming back at you. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't say, "I give up. I've tried it too many times." No. At one more time could be the time that they get released. You know, when was that last time someone prayed for you and you came into covenant of God? We cannot allow ourselves to be wore down. James chapter 3, verse 3 and 5. James chapter 3. "Now if we put the bits into horses, into their mouths, that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well." And verse 4 says, "Behold, the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires, that ship will go." It says, "Also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire." Again, it's showing to us how important the words that we speak are. Take, I don't know, anybody know the name of a big forest? Yellowstone, is that a forest? Okay. How many millions of trees are in that place? Some are 1,000 years old. Well, I'm saying one little match. One little match. In fact, that match actually came from a tree. One match stroke dropped can burn down the whole forest. It's kind of like us. We're all made, was created in the image of God. But one word spoken from our mouth can destroy many that God has made. You choose our words very, very carefully. It's an honor to speak. It's an honor to be able to have that ability in your mouth to help people. But man, with that ability, the great responsibility comes with that. Too many people are destroyed by the words that others speak. "I'm just telling the truth." Well, are you telling them out of love? You need to tell me I'm worthless, that I'm rotten, I'm nothing but a no-good drunk, that I'm lazy. I already know that, if that's me. What I need to hear is, "Hey, listen, you're made in the image of God. God loves you. He cares for you. He has a plan for you. He has a desire for you, that you are the head and not the tail." This stuff right now in your life, that's just getting in the way of God. I'm telling you what, you are somebody. You are. Don't let people get you down. You're just created for a purpose. And God loves you. That's what people need to hear. Again, you can look at me and see the truth. Speaking to my life. Speak it into life. And again, some of the words that you know that we speak sometimes. And we say that, "Well, they'll never change." I've shared that before. Oh, they'll never change. Hey, let's pray for them. All right. What good that will do? No good, because you have no faith. You have no faith. It's kind of like being down on the canvas of a boxing match and they're counting you at 7, 8, and some of them are yelling, "Stay down, you bum!" Others are saying, "Get up! Get up!" Well, the one you hear the loudest is going to encourage you the most to get up! Don't give up! And that's what we need to be when we speak our words out. Our words need to be encouraging one another. As a born-again Christian, Christ lives in you. Amen? The Holy Spirit is there to guide you. Do we make Jesus say words that He wouldn't say on His own? Do we look at things that the Master would never look at and call it entertainment? Do we listen to stuff and laugh at it that Christ would have nothing to do with it? Do we take things and call it entertainment that He hung on the cross to deliver us from? We need to check ourselves. God loves us. He only wants the best for us, but He gives you and me the opportunity to do what we want to our life. We have a free will. Amen? I mean, you use your free will today. You come in here. Amen? Amen. But in Genesis 1:26, God tells us that He made us in His own image. According to our likeness, He said, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are speaking. And let them roll over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. Hear that, Vicky? Every creepy thing. You got dominion over it, okay? God created man in His own image, in the image of God He created him. Both male and female He created them, and God blessed them. And God wanted us to represent Him. Can you imagine that? He made it His image. I was sharing the other night, actually, have you ever wore a shirt somewhere? And you went to a party or you went to a dinner and someone else was wearing the same shirt? And you didn't care for that person and you thought, man, if I hang around them, they're going to think I'm part of them. My pop did that once. He wore a shirt that had little shiny things on it. And Mom bought me and my brother both one. It was itchy. And I hated that thing. I'd wear that, I'd walk like this, and you're 8 years old. My brother the same way. But Dad, these are my boys. He made me in His image. Now how sad I was at the wear of that. I look back now how awesome it was. But my father was not ashamed of his children. And in fact, he dressed us like him, for they would recognize that we're part of him. And God has done the same thing with us. He's not ashamed of us. He created us in His image. Just think of that. If He did that, He must love us. Amen?
Amen.
My dad must want to associate with me because he dressed me like him. Amen? I mean, that's how you get your mind wrapped around God, that He created you in His image. He has plans for you. He has a purpose for you. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants a relationship with you like you never had before. But it's up to us. It's up to us. Sure, I realized when I got home, wherever he's at, first thing I did, I took off that shirt. I couldn't stand it. But what I would give today to wear that shirt again. Well, maybe it would be the same way with God. At one time, man walked with God in the cool of the evening, the Bible says, without sickness and disease, without sin, perfect. And may that longer in our hearts today that we will do the same thing once again. A day is coming where we'll walk with Him again, with no heartache, no death, no sickness, no separation. That day is coming very, very soon. And may that motivate us to continue to follow the Master till that day is fully matured. May we not fall into the temptations of this world. May we speak to each other lives words of strength and comfort and encouragement and not words to destroy us and take us down. God only wants the best for us. He says in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" If God is for you, the God who created everything, if He's in charge of everything, who can be against you to amount to anything? If you're walking with God through the Son, Jesus Christ. He did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all. How will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Satan. Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we were overwhelming conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor death, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. With God, nothing can separate us. No matter how things look today, keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep following Him. Don't worry about the things of the world. Don't fall into the pressures of the world. Don't fall into this, but this is a new age. It's a new age, all right. It's not worth anything, this new age movement. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. You don't have to worry about changing your clothing next year as you put on the clothing of Christ. Christ is the same next year, and the next year, and the next year. As His blood covers you today, it's still good for next year, and forever, ever, and ever. Get wrapped up in the world. They want you to change all the time. New theology, they're saying. Nah, God is always the same. And He says that He's there to intercede for us. Hebrew chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he is always lives to make intercession for them. Intercession, to intercede, through the dictionary tells us, is to act in behalf of someone in difficult or trouble. And there's one called yourdictionary.com. It means to get involved in something on behalf of another person. To get involved in something. When the Master went to heaven, he sat down on the right hand of the Father. Now he intercedes for us. A lot of times we think that he's praying. That he's praying for us daily. But I ask you this. Who does he pray to? He can't pray the Word of God because he is the Word of God. So how does he intercede for us? Best way I can describe it is I'm up here in front of the church. I see everything that's going on back here. I mean everything. Well, I see these two youngsters in the front of the church here. They each need a dollar bill. So I want to give them each a dollar bill. So what do I do? Carol, come here. I can't leave the front of the church. I need to work through you. You got feet.
Okay, yeah.
Would you give each of these children here a dollar bill?
Sure. Hey, all right.
Isn't that awesome? She just did something she doesn't know what she did. These two youngsters looked at my wife and said, thank you. She's going to thank him. Same thing in our lives today. God looks out and he sees your needs. He's not coming down to earth. How's he intercede for you? He sends someone else on that. Okay? He sends some, he knows our needs at any time. He looks out there and says, oh, there, woman. Yeah. He looks out there and he says, wow. One of these, I got a Kleenex in, I got to watch out.
No.
Oh, woman.
He calls me Carol.
The lady in front row there, she needs that.
Cool.
Again, with a need, it is met. So it goes back to us again. How does God meet Kenny's need? As he intercedes? He'll lay Kenny on someone else's heart. Mm-hmm. It might be to call Kenny, to check on him. It might be offer a ride. It might to pray for him. That's how he intercedes. And a lot of times, we don't understand that. And we'll say, Lord, take care of Gail. Well, it's a good thought. But the question would be, Lord, how can I help Gail? Because he just laid her on your heart for some reason. Yeah, as a Christian, there's nothing that's by chance. You've got to understand that. A born-again Christian having the Spirit of living God in you. When you think of someone, 99.9% of the time, God just laid them upon your heart. He wants to use you to meet a need they have. And a lot of time that need is just intercessory prayer. To pray. We wake up in the middle of the night and we think of Joe. Lord, I don't know what it is today. I just, kaliyataka, shamo no liyataka, shaliyataka. And I start praying. I might pray for 5 minutes, 10 minutes till I get that release. If you don't have that prayer language, Lord, I lift up Joe tonight. I'm not sure what's going on, but I just say, God, send your angel around him right now and protect him. I declare the word of God that he's a child of God born again. So Satan, if you're attacking him today, get your hands off of him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's the power that we have. See, I took God's word and spoke it back out. And that word would not return to him void. Now, if I didn't know the word of God, I said, Carol, I woke up and I thought of Joe last night. Huh. I thought of him. But did it do any good? People, when I read it, and they mean well, but I say, hey, keep me in your thoughts and prayers. My thoughts won't do you any good, but my prayers will. Amen. I ain't saying it right now. I'll pick on Carol White again. I used her last Friday. Carol White's back here having a cup of coffee, and she just spilled some on the floor. I saw what she did. She didn't really, but yeah. I look at Kathy. See, when I'm looking at it this way, Kathy, you know something's. I'm a little bit different, right? I'm getting your attention. So I take my eyeballs and I go, you're going to turn around and look. And, Carol White needs a napkin. I just interceded for Carol White. She needed something back there. I didn't do it myself. I can't leave the front of the church. I'm the pastor. But through my eye contact with Kathy, I got her attention and she can look back. Now, she can refuse to look back there. She can't look back there. But that calls you to look back. Same way with God, when He moves upon our hearts for someone, we can refuse. Thought we're too busy today. But man, I'm telling you what, He wants to intercede for us. He wants to help us out. And He uses the church to do that in. As we understand that, I believe we'll yield ourselves more and more to the moving of the Holy Spirit and allow Him to work through us. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, where it directly says, first of all, then I urge that prayers, petition, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. So, what he's sharing with us is that he wants us to pray, not just for ourselves, but pray for everyone. Especially those in authority. Now, the word here, I emphasize on, I urge. He didn't say it's a commandment, but I urge that we pray for one another, pray for those in authority. And like right now, we have the upcoming elections, we have politics that we need to pray. We need to pray, first of all, that they're all be protected. And no harm comes to them. But we pray that the one that would represent God will be raised up. That we'd have an idea who to put in public office. Okay? I won't say who the perfect candidate is, because I don't think there is a perfect candidate. It's just someone that God can work with. Amen? But at the same time, no harm done to anyone. Realize that. We are to pray on behalf of men. For kings. Pray for our president. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the protection of his family. Pray that his heart be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that he be born again. That's how he wants us to pray. Again, we don't have to pray or tell God all the bad stuff because he already knows it. Why speak out more bad when we can speak out something that might change things? I say might because the president or every one of us has a free will. But we can speak words that will have a great influence into their lives. Matthew 28. Verse 18, the Master told us, so all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, Jesus sees all things and intercedes on our behalf all the time. He brings others to our attention to pray for. Sometimes we pray for them to be defended, helped, comforted. We are His hands and His feet. But He tells us, like no one else has ever told us before, I am with you always. Never leave you. Have you ever had a friend that walked with you for a while and left you? Okay. And you thought it'd be forever and ever. Okay. Jesus will never do that to you. And again, in our mind, we are so used to people telling us half-truths. We are so used to listening to the news that we don't believe it because we know they're not telling us the whole thing. That sometimes when we read the Word of God, that same influence comes into our lives and we don't truly believe what the Word of God says just because we have been indoctrinated through our life here on earth not to believe things. And folks, we have to change that. If God spoke it, if He said it, then it's for our own will, His own goodness for ourselves, and we need to comply to it. We got to train ourselves that way. That God said to do it, we're going to do it. God said not to do it, not going to do it. Don't let the influence of the world come in and take away what God wants to give us in our life. Now, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. He tells that my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And knowledge is described as information and skills acquired by a person through experience or education, or practical understanding of a subject, or the awareness or familiarity gained by experience of a fact or situation. Or, as Merriam-Webster would say, knowledge is learning. Scholarship means what is or can be known by an individual or by humankind. Knowledge applies to facts or ideas acquired. Knowledge is acquired by study, investigation, observation, or experience. So he's saying, my people are destroyed for the lack of studying my word, investigating my word, observing my word in action, and experiencing my word. Hear me, church? That's God. You believe God? That's what He's telling us, my people. And so we know that as we hear His word, we study His word, apply His word, man, His word will have an effect in our life. His word will not come back void. But we need to know that word to speak it out. We need to know that word to follow it. And we're going to get that by studying it, by observing the word. It doesn't come any other way. I can carry 12 Bibles around the back seat of my car. Won't do me any good unless I open it up and study that word. Come into fellowship, hear that word. That's what you're doing today. You'll leave here today with more knowledge than you came in with. I'll guarantee that. God's word is that way. God teaches us. Will you remember everything come forth today? No. But you learned something. Then as you hear it again, and for some of you, this is the second time you heard this, because Friday night you heard part of it. It's going to sink in more. I have teaching tapes that I listen. Charles Capps, I've heard 25 times. I'll play it again. Wow. I get more and more out because God's word is alive.
Yes.
We just read that. That word is alive and it keeps speaking to us and ministering to us. As we speak His word out. I want to share a couple of scriptures with you and I'll close. But Exodus 23:25. Just write that down if you would. He said, you shall serve the Lord your God. He shall bless your bread and water. And I will take sickness from your midst. Now this is the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now we know, and as we continue in this series going on the next several weeks, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, He brings healing to us. Amen?
Amen.
Through His stripes, we are healed. And as we return that with the word of God, and we say, God, I know, like I said last week, this sickness isn't from you. Because you are my God. I am born again. I know it is trespassing by the enemy of God upon my body. And Lord, you said, if I serve you, you shall bless my bread and my water. I serve you, Lord, every day. And you will take this sickness from my midst. I declare this sickness has to leave my body because it's trespassing in the name of the Lord. I demand to be released from my body in Jesus' name. I am speaking back the Word of God. I'm speaking it out. My body's hearing it. The body that God created, these cells that God created clear back in the garden, is hearing the Word of God. It's speaking out. It's going to react to the Word of God. I'm going to speak that Word out. He said, my Word will not return back void. Deuteronomy 7:15. So, and the Lord will remove from you all sickness, and He will not put on you any of the harmful diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but He will lay them on all who hate you. So again, He's saying, sickness and disease is not from me, for my children. Right. Do not acquire the thought process that, well, God must have made me sick, that God gave me this. Oh, He won't give me more than I can handle. Yeah, He won't. Satan will try to. And then they will try to get the thought process that our Heavenly Father wants to destroy us, that He hates us, that He gave us this sickness, this disease, that we must carry it with us. And Satan is what? He is the father of lies. Amen? Amen? So who are we going to believe, Satan or the Word of God? We are going to believe the Word of God. So again, he's saying, this sickness I have isn't from God. God didn't give it to me. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm following the Master. So this enemy is trespassing upon my body. And it must be removed in the name of Jesus. Deuteronomy 28:1-2. So now it shall be, if you diligently obey your Lord God, being careful to do all His commandments which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God. There again, God wants to bless His children. And all we have to do is what? Obey. And thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we sin, we can repent. We can repent then, now, and allow God to be God in our life. When we sin, we open the door up for the evil one to come in. That's why it's so important to walk with God. It's so important to allow our mouths to be bridled by the Word of God. So many times we open our mouths up when we speak. We might say, well, this is the way I felt. Well, you might have felt that way, but when you spoke it out, you gave Satan the right to come back into your life. Do you understand that, church? Please. Please. It doesn't say you're going to hell. It doesn't say you lost your salvation. It's saying that when you do that, you allow Satan back onto the property that the Master redeemed. It's kind of like Buck bought a couple acres outside of town. He puts barbed wire fence around it to keep people from trespassing. But if he goes up and snips that fence himself, people's come on that property. When he recognizes that that fence has been cut, he has to go back and patch it back together to keep the enemy out. The same way with us when we realize we have sinned. Now, how do you keep from sinning? Well, Word of God, and watch what you're saying. If Buck doesn't want people trespassing on his property, he'll make a practice of walking around there checking that fence row. Just making sure the posts are set like they're supposed to be and the wires are up. And we need to do the same thing in our lives daily and be honest when we look in the mirror. Am I following the Master? Is Jesus Christ my Savior and Lord? Have I sinned against you, Father? If I have, forgive me in the name of the Lord. Keep them fences up. When the attack of the enemy comes, he's telling, no. You're going to fight me, you're going to fight my Father. And He already defeated you at the cross. That's speaking, that's getting a mindset. I don't know if you guys ever played sports. Have you ever had any rough sports? The battle is fought in the mind. It's where your mind is before you start a football game, a boxing match, or anything. It's won or lost in the mind. If you go into a battle thinking, well, I'm not going to win, you're not going to win. But you go in the battle knowing who you are, and you've been trained, and you got strength, and you got power, and you know you can overcome that enemy, you're going to win. And you got to know who your God is. That God is all powerful. There's nothing more powerful than Him. But we can weaken our thought process to believe the things of the world. It kind of breaks my heart. I don't give up. I don't give up praying for anyone until the Lord says it's time to come home. And to see a posting the other day, a relative out of state, and she had fought cancer. And cancer was defeated, and just found out last week it came back again. And I know people mean well, but they say, oh, so sorry, so sad, and okay. It says, okay, in the name of Jesus, we still rebuke and bind the spirit of cancer from permanent from her body. And we declare she shall be cancer free in Jesus' name. Yeah, that's like going down on the mat. You might be counting two, but let's get back up again. Let's just keep going until the master's like, okay, you fought a good fight, come on home. Where he decided to bring her home or not, that's up to him. If Maggie and I is fighting over in Vietnam together, we're going to fight the same. And if the colonel decides the next day to take Maggie out of the fight, go ahead. But until then, we're going to fight together. We're going to declare it. And that's what we need to do. Time after time in the Bible, we see where the master came in right at the last second. He wasn't late. Perfect timing. Were they raising Lazarus back up from the grave? Remember that? Boy, you're too late. The child brought back to life? No. Any one of them could say, oh, stop. The father could have said, my daughter's already passed on. Don't worry about coming. Other people told him, I forget it. But not the one who has authority over the child. Not the one that had the authority over the child. Said, oh, come on, let's keep going. They had faith, kept going. I'm going to take the master to my child. Take the master to my child. He went in and raised her back up to life. If the father would have listened to the people in the town, my mother would give up Jesus. Nothing you can do now. Sure, he passed on. But he had faith, believing what God can do, his word. And the last verse I'll share with you today is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. So choose life in order that you may live, and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God and obeying His voice. Folks, the time is coming, the Bible tells us, there's going to be a great drought. And that drought, not just talking about water, there's going to be a drought for the Word of God. It's going to dry up, people don't want to hear it anymore. And we're getting closer and closer to those days. But us, we need to continue to drink the Word of God. Allow it to refresh us. Allow it to make it determined, because it's not easy for you. It says here, it speaks about your descendants. It says, so choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. Do not waver in this war you might have going on with your children or relatives. And I'm talking about the spiritual war. I'm not talking about Hatfields and McCoys. Don't waver. Don't give up. Continue to stand on the Word of God. If God said it, believe it. I don't care. If you think there's nothing going to change, this is the last day that something has to happen, or boom, you just let God be God. Speak His word. The more you speak it, the more you're going to hear it. Believe His word. Help me, God, to believe your word. I think it's impossible. God, I know with you all things are possible. I'm only human, so forgive me, God. My faith isn't that strong. But I know you won't lie to me. I know you want the best for me, God. So, Lord, lead me. Strengthen me, guide me. And God, show me how I can help others by walking this path He's given me. And to share Him. The Master's coming back very, very soon. And the trial we're going through today is very, very minute compared to the blessing that's coming our way. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. And God, I just lift up each one here present this morning, God, that may your word be rooted greater into their lives. May their faith be increased today, because you said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God, may they know that they can go through another day, that that report they received is only their report, but we look at your report, Father, Lord God. Oh, God, we just glorify the Master today, Lord. And Father, I just speak out right now against that spirit of cancer right now that's trying to attack the body of Christ. That by the stripes on the back of Jesus Christ that brought healing to us, that's only a spirit of infirmity. That is nothing compared to the blood of Jesus Christ. I place that blood of Christ over them this morning. And declare in the name of Jesus that it be cancer free, that the bad cells be removed, and the good cells shall be multiplied. That marrow and the bone will filter out, function properly, that whether it be kidneys, livers, the heart, pancreas, colon, whatever it might be, whatever name we give it, it's an infirmity. We speak that whatever has been hurt shall be rebuilt. Because Father, your word said that you come and give us life and give it more abundantly. We just declare that today in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And to you be the glory, in Jesus' name, amen.